Hello, Zhao. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time for this interview. And could you please tell us who you are and what you do?
Okay. I work for Intermediate Unit 1, and intermediate units are regional educational facilities. We have 29 in the state of Pennsylvania. My role at the IU is the director of the Instructional Support Services Department, which essentially is the staff development department.
So you do that for all the schools in the IU?
Yes, we have 25 school districts and 5 vocational technical schools within Intermediate Unit 1. We cover 3 counties, Washington, Fayette, and Greene counties. So we would provide the, in my department, the mandated curriculum and No Child Left Behind initiative training coming from the Department of Education, as well as in services professional development for initiatives that might be federal or state or district-wide initiatives. So our staff, which is about 15 staff developers, will support the school districts in specific targeted staff developments or regional developments or staff developments at the IU. So we would pull in teams of teachers from across the IU area and provide some training or support for them. And that's essentially what we do across all educational levels, K through 12, and also special education as well as regular ed.
And do you go to the schools or do sometimes people come to you?
We have both situations. A lot of our training is regional, meaning that we bring groups of teachers in or administrators. We do a lot of work with administrators as well. But we also have what we call customized site support that we provide, and sometimes that is a direct instruction an in-service on an in-service day, or it might be follow-up support in regard to a specific kind of program that had, you know, where there had been earlier training, and we have staff would go on site and meet with small groups of teachers, or even some of our staff has done observation in the classroom to make sure, similar to what a coach might do, to make sure that there are not questions about how to implement a specific strategy.
So you've seen a lot of professional development, and you've actually done, you know, planned and executed a lot of the professional development. So what impact do you see in your travels and when people come to you, when you facilitate or your staff facilitates, what impact do you see that Paskey schools have had with the IU?
Well, one of the advantages that the Paskey schools have is that they're not only able to have coaches, but also to train the other staff members. They can come to the regional trainings for PLN 1, PLN 2, and for next year we'll have actually PLN 3 courses as well. So you're not just having a small number of coaches and administrators who are trained, but you're really building the capacity within the school district sites for understanding and future training for additional staff members or new staff members. Now, it's interesting, since we began the project a few years ago, we've had certainly new administrators, and as they've come on board, they've heard about the coaching project, and they've called, well, how can we get involved? And unfortunately, that's not been, it's not an open enrollment. You had an opportunity early on, and if you didn't take advantage of it, then we don't have a place for you. So I get at least 2 or 3 calls at the beginning of every year. I hear you have a coaching project. We would like to be involved. So we know that there is an interest and a need, and because of the other Department of Education initiatives, the Classrooms of the Future, and other projects, Reading First, that involve coaches. And we do have some of our school districts who have coaches at other educational levels. And so they certainly validate the strength of the program. So it's really been one that has been an advantage to our participating school districts, and of interest to our districts who do not have coaches at the high school level, because at the high school level, that was the that's always been a little bit the harder nut to crack in regard to staff development for the secondary teachers.
So you see this, you see it aligning, you see all the initiatives throughout the state aligning, and you see it manifest itself in the IU1 schools.
Absolutely.
What support does the IU give to the coaches of the Paskey schools? And I know you do a lot with them. Can you talk about what kind of support that is?
Well, we do support an opportunity for the schools and to have network and across the IU's, the different school coaches come together on a regular basis, and they have a sort of a book club discussion group, and we support that. With purchasing the books, and what we've gone to now is we're accumulating a library, so we buy the books and then we'll be able to use them again with the study groups and the networking groups. In addition to that, then we have conversations about what do they need, what could we develop to increase the opportunity to share their knowledge. So what we're doing is encouraging delivery systems to change for the sharing at the school district level. We're looking at courses that can be developed for teachers to take actually on site around some of the strategies that the coaches are learning through the PLN courses. So the intermediate units offer continuing professional education courses. And we are going to have at least one next year. And later on this week, I'm going to have a conversation with more of the coaches. I have some other foundation monies that will allow me to provide some funding to develop some face-to-face. And eventually, I see online courses that could extend the knowledge to more teachers and administrators within IU1.
That's really aligning what you do. Mm-hmm. That's great. And with the giving credit, the IU would
absolutely.
Be...
Absolutely. We would be offering the credit for that and at a discounted rate through funding. So we're going to use the Benenden Foundation funding, which is one of our local funders, to support the development and design of the courses and then to discount the courses to the teachers who are taking them.
That's great. And this is only for the schools in IU1?
Well, at this time, it's only for the schools in IU1, but once we build the courses, and my idea is we have the coaches from one school can develop one course, the coaches from another, a different one, and then once they are the ones that will be effective online, those can go outside of IU1.
That's great. That's right, and it'll all be based on PLN strategies?
Can be based on the integration of PLN strategies, okay. And it also can be based on what the coaches are finding is working within the study groups that they're running this year. Because the teachers are going to, we're finding that the teachers are expanding on what were the original intent of some of the study groups. And so this would provide an opportunity for them to go beyond.
Now that really speaks to sustainability.
Oh, absolutely. I think what we have to find is a way for us to extend the project using not just the model that we have here, but perhaps adaptations of that model, which will allow it to grow at an even greater pace if we can.
So it's almost, you're actually addressing, it sounds like you're addressing the Sustainability Institute and the institutionalization of instructional coaching, and it's replicated in some way, the Paskey way, but also taking what you've learned from Paskey mm-hmm. and then expanding it in another way.
Absolutely. So I think you have to look at what aspects of the Paskey experience are the most critical, and certainly not lose those, but not be afraid of having some modification. And the reason I think you can do that once you've grown your numbers is that you have more of an understanding, not only from the perspective of the coaches and the administrators, but of some of the teachers who've taken the PLN coursework as well. So you're not starting from square one. So that's, I mean, I think that's why you can effectively do some modifications. The other part that I think is helpful is the integration. And the Department of Ed is really integrating more of their initiatives now. You're seeing some of the same frameworks that are a part of the different projects, the defining of the roles of the coaches across several initiatives, and this is an example of that. So there is certainly now, going into the third year of the project, of the implementation piece for us, a greater understanding of the role of the coach, the role of the administrator, the importance of defining those roles, and the fact that you have school districts who may be involved in multiple initiatives with coaches.
You bring up a good point, because you're right, the state is now aligning. We have a collaborative coaching board, and on that board, we all are represented. So any initiative in the state that has a coaching component is actually based on the Annenberg model, on Paskey. And you're right, we now have the common language for the job description. We have common language for assurances. So going forward, any other initiatives from the state that work with coaching, that we're all trying to build in some uniformity, if you will, so that one district to the other, we have at least this baseline that says these are the must-haves. Mm-hmm. And once you implement that, it's not a cookie-cutter model, but these are the common, you know, non-negotiables that you have. And it sounds like you're starting that with, as you try to expand it and sustain it in IU1. So that sounds like a great idea to move forward.
Yeah. Our idea was that we could develop a series of coaching courses. That would, I mean, certainly we can't offer a certification, but we can set a pathway and suggest to people that if you, and our concept was the collaborative practitioner, that if you indeed, as a professional, want to be a collaborative practitioner, then you need to have an understanding of the basic tenets around coaching or collaborating, and also have strong content and pedagogy in your specific area, so that there would be some common elements for a pathway for math, collaborative practitioner, and common elements for science, etc. But there would also be very differentiated coursework to ground you in your content area.
So that's marrying content and pedagogy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really sounds like it's got the roots there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So then, in your head and your experience, you've thought about what the effective components are for instructional coaching.
Correct.
Can you talk for a minute about three key components that you see are must-haves for instructional coaching?
Well, for instructional coaching, for the coach, that person needs to be grounded very strongly in the content. So they need to be able to make connections within their content at all levels and within all the courses. They need to understand that the delivery and the instructional practice is so critical. It's just not knowledge in the content. And I would say the third most critical is just, how is it that you set up a culture of this collaboration and sharing and support? So it's a personal dynamic that is the essential third part. After you've looked at the content and the pedagogy.
Do you find that in some of the schools, because there are seven high schools in IU1 that are involved in Paskey, do you see challenges in talking about the key components? Do you see challenges to achieving that, or are you seeing that those are the things that you see present in each one of the coaching staffs?
Well, and I was talking specifically about coaching, not necessarily the process, because we didn't talk about what is essential to the system in order to have an effective coach. And so there are certainly administrative demands that are critical to this. And I was really talking about the person who would be fulfilling that particular role. Within the districts in IU1, we started out late and did not really have a full complement of coaches, even the first year. The second year has been much smoother because we really had people who had grasped the concept of coaching and also had staff in place. Difficulties within the school systems vary, but one difficulty that has been across more than one school district has been administrative change, and that is really difficult because then you have to ensure that the principal has an understanding, and if you've had a change, then they're just trying to understand their new district or their new position. So it's a lot for them to handle at once. So I think when you're looking at the administration changes, that has been difficult. But people really have done a pretty good job with it. And as the coaches have been more comfortable in their position, then they're able to support a new administrator.
Interesting that you bring that point up. And I think 5 out of the 7 administrators in IU1 have changed throughout the year. So it's a good thing we're all change agents. Mm-hmm. But you bring up a good point, and some would say that we always have that element in any kind of school reform. You always have a turnover. So is there really a way to change the culture of the school so that when you have this change in administration, the school takes care of itself?
Well, my belief, whether it would be coaching or any other initiative, is that you institutionalize those core components. If you were talking about curriculum, you'd have a curriculum cycle that was part of your system. And so when a new administrator came in or you hired new staff, then part of the education that would occur would be to explain, what you have in place. And I think that's the best way to institutionalize something. As this program develops, it's almost like you're creating a little handbook of what the administrator needs to be aware of, and what are the, as you said, the core principles that must be followed if it's going to be an effective program. Now, I think you would find, if you looked across initiatives and reforms, that there would be common elements. But in a specific school district, you need to be aware of what is in place, because there may be differences, and it may have a different name than the curriculum council in one school district, but it serves the same purpose. And so I think it would almost be like an audit that you would conduct, looking for matching what was on your list of core with what do they have. So you would have to have a conversation with more than one person in the district and say, well, do you have something that's like this, or how do you accomplish this task? And then you would have a baseline, and you would know where you needed to go. So I think as far as a school district, we could help them through the project put some things in place that would ensure and make it easier when, I guess probably that would be the better way to look at it, make it easier when they had a transition. And you're going to have transition with coaches, you're going to have transition with teachers, and you're going to have transition with administrators. So you need to have a cycle of professional development, and you need to have sort of the 101 of the coaching project to get somebody up to speed in sort of as quick as possible. And then they can go through the process, the PLN 1 or the PLN 2, but it's almost like you need that little crash course in the beginning to give you the key concepts.
Right. Now, our initiative has some things that other initiatives have. I mean, coaches are coaches, and you have them in several initiatives. And one of the things that makes us distinctive, not only is it that we're fortunate enough to be around the instructional framework of a PLN, we also have a layer of support for the coaches that no other initiative has. Can you talk for a minute about the mentor support that you've seen and how that works
Well,
with
from
the
my
IU.
perspective at the IU, I saw my role as trying to facilitate participation in this project. I would not have been able to provide the support that the mentors had, because there are just too many responsibilities that I have. So I am very thankful that I was able to have a couple staff members participate in the training, Wendy and Noreen, and that was essential, because then they could be where I couldn't initially in the understanding and catch me up. And then also, they're involved in other initiatives in reading and math, so they can do some integration. So that was very helpful. But I, to be real honest with you, I could not have been at the sites and done the work of the mentors, the leadership, or the content-specific literacy and math mentors in the initial parts of this project. My role was to create a job description, advertise it, interview, and that took up a great deal of the time in the first year. And so I would not have been available to provide that support. And so I think they're essential as we move through more coaches in our systems. The concept of what a coach does will become more known. It will become more common knowledge. Then I would see that the mentor role might change. But what this was a pilot, and part of what the role of a pilot is to identify those parts of the system that are necessary first, second, and third year, and develop documents and instruments and other materials that could allow the project to be extended or scaled up. And but as far as the role of the IU, I couldn't have, with the other demands that I have, provided the mentor relationship that was needed for our beginning coaches, because it was just too new of a concept, not only to the coach, but to the teachers and the administrators in the school. Because the more we know and we can integrate, the less fractured our school districts will be when they implement different projects.
Right. And it's a way to sustain it, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the time you took to have this little interview with us. We appreciate it, and look for it on the website. It will be posted in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jarrell.
Mm-hmm. Good night.